Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE podcast, Sports Whispers Weekly, brought to you by Missy AE, whom without none of these podcasts would be possible. I'm your host, Steve Kent. I am joined on the line by my co-host, Tom Bouchard, who still has to get his jury questions in before tomorrow's finale of Survivor Whispers, the Game 18, which, by the way, you guys can view in Big Brother Whispers tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern as Peggy Ann and Jamie Lee Stidley look to find out who will be the winner of our next of our Whispers games. We are also joined on the line by Lou as well. And for those of you that want to call in and talk some sports with us, you can call in at 657-383-1308. The number is, once again, 657-383-1308. We have MLB free agency is starting to crank up. There's been quite a few signings and moves that have gone on this week. We will cover all of those and more. As well as there's a one hot rumor going around, which we'll get to actually in a little bit here, that actually concerns the Yankees, quite frankly. Well, actually a few rumors. We also will look at the coaching carousel around multiple sports, as we saw quite a few changes take place in coaching staffs this past week. We'll discuss all these and more tonight, as well as get to our football picks as well. So once again, the number is 657-383-1308. Let me bring in Tom and Lou right now. Tom and Lou, how are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, good, Steve. Thanks.
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for asking. A little tired from working 50 hours this week, but, you know, I'm still kicking it.
Yeah, it's gotta be pretty tiring, you know, getting those working all
yeah.
that time. But just make sure you get those questions in though.
Yeah, I'll have them in tonight.
For anybody who's interested in college basketball, actually, there is quite the barn burner going on right now on CBS Sports Network between Western Kentucky and the undefeated Arkansas, which last I checked, I believe the Razorbacks were, I believe, holding a slim lead. Hang on one sec. Yeah, a 57-55 lead with about 6:56 left to go in the game. So
that's slim.
It is very slim against the 6-3 Western Kentucky Hilltoppers team here. Arkansas is looking to stay undefeated. But yeah, for those who are interested in watching some college basketball, they currently have it on CBS Sports Network right now. But let's get started with the probably the big rumor that's going around out in baseball, and in particular, this concerns the Yankees. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Now, it hasn't really been reported by any of the big name guys yet, but you know, there's a. Of course, news has circled around that obviously, you know, Gerrit Cole is probably the top prize in free agency this year, or one of the top
yeah.
prizes. Apparently, the deadline for teams to start making offer or for teams to make their offers is sometime within the next week, apparently. However, one of my sources who has broken trades and big name signings in all of the different leagues before before the big name guys have gotten to it. According to him, the Yankees have supposedly given Cole a 5-year, $250 million, somewhere around that range, offer that he is, what's it called? That rumor has it that he is going to accept. So now, obviously the Yankees, you know, are the front runners in many people's eyes, at least, to sign him to begin with. But from all indications, it kind of sounds like it's a done deal. Garrett Cole would of course shatter the previous record of $217 million that was signed by David Price when he signed with the Boston Red Sox as the highest deal that a starting pitcher has made coming out of free agency. But with Garrett Cole, I mean, it's clearly obvious he would provide an immediate huge upgrade to whichever team he ends up signing with. Now, it was claimed a couple of days ago that Brian Cashman had been given the green light to basically give Garrett Cole essentially a blank check, which, of course, if you know what that means basically Cole can ask for whatever amount of money he wants, and more than likely he will get it because the Yankees have made Garrett Cole their top priority in free agency this year. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to sign anybody else because there are rumors that the Yankees are also in on Steven Strasburg as well. And, of course, it hasn't been ruled out that maybe perhaps the Yankees could grab both of them in free agency, especially with CeCe Sabathia retiring this year. That takes his money off of the books. With Jacoby Ellsbury being released, assuming that they end up winning the legal proceedings that Ellsbury's going to try and put on the Yankees, that takes his $26 million off the books. So, even though the Yankees have never really been afraid to spend in the past to begin with, it still is quite a bit of a bright sign for Yankee fans that have undergone probably the biggest weight of their entire of the entire past decade or so since. Since they last won their, I believe the last time they won the title was what, 2009?
Somewhere like that, yes.
I think it was somewhere around there. But anyways, Garrett Cole, heavily rumored to be going to the Yankees. According to a guy that I follow, supposedly it is already official, but it's basically a foregone conclusion until they officially announce it.
Yes.
Now, if you take a look at Garrett Cole's stats this year, he went 20-5 with a 2.50 ERA through 33 games with Houston. Also through 212 innings pitched, 212 and a third innings pitched, actually. Throughout his career, he has a career record of 94-52 with a 3.22 ERA through 192 games between both Pittsburgh and Houston. Obviously, if he ends up going to the Yankees, he will very easily be a number one starter. Let me get your guys' thoughts on this first off. We'll start with Tom. Garrett Cole, first off, the big rumor that he is, that he's more than likely going to be signing with the Yankees for a record 5 to 6 year, $250 million or so in that range kind of deal. What do you think of it? And also, what kind of impact do you think that this may have on the Yankees' World Series hopes? time you there? Okay,
yeah,
I think
sorry,
Tom
I was
may be
still
in.
On mute.
Either.
Sorry, I was still on mute.
Oh.
I'm making dinner as we're talking because I've been at work all day. Anyways, what I think of the deal is the only thing that worries me about it is the scandal with Houston still looming.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they turn around, and one of the things that have been mentioned as punishment is everybody who played for Houston during this scandal would be ineligible for the playoffs. For me, that is a huge thing, and I would hope that they have something tied in to his contract where if he can't play for the playoffs, that he would have to return some of that money.
Huh, that would actually, I don't think
I haven't
think
agree.
I've ever heard of a case. I don't think I've ever heard of a case where literally anybody that played for a team in the middle of a scandal wouldn't be eligible to play for the playoffs. So that would be a
well,
first.
That was one of the things. That was one of the things that were mentioned as part of the punishment, because they were knowingly stealing signs electronically, and so
yeah.
One of the things that were mentioned as part of the punishment is everybody on those squads would be ineligible for the playoffs for up to 3 years, depending on their involvement. At least that was stuff that I had read. I mean, as part of their punishment.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Steve,
yeah.
I think you were the one who sent it to me.
I don't remember it having to do with that. I mean, I've heard of, you know, the stuff that I sent to you involved, like, for example, a loss of draft picks and a suspension for, you know, for the GM and the coach. I don't think I ever sent you anything that had to do with that. So it must have been somebody else.
Yeah, I'm searching now. Go ahead and get Steve's take. I'll let you know if.
But Lou, what do you think of the potential signing for Cole, and what kind of impact you know he's going to possibly have on this Yankees organization that hasn't seen a World Series in about a decade?
Yeah, I was reading something yesterday about with the Washington Nationals, how they you know have this payroll and they have the. You know, at least get rid of one of their players. So what's going to be the Nationals' loss could be a big game for the Yankees. So it's going to...
Well, yeah, there's also the possibility... There is the possibility that they could get Steven Strasburg at the same time as well, yeah.
That's true. So so this is a big break for our side.
I found it. Here's what you sent me, Steve. Okay, the thing you sent me, it said... my proposal for sanctions, it says Hinch GM suspended for 1 year, first round pick stripped for 3 years. This year's draft, they lose first 10 rounds of picks. 2021, they lose first five. 2022, they lose first round pick. 5 year exemption
yeah.
from all MLB postseason play for the entire franchise and any player on that team if they are no longer with the franchise.
Oh, wow. I completely forgot about that. I mean, I remember the other stuff, but I completely forgot about that part. So, yeah, you know, that would be from what you had mentioned, that's the one thing that you know, that worries you about this whole thing.
That would be the one thing that worries me, because if we're paying that kind of money obviously we want him for the playoffs. I mean, we want to get over that hump where the last 2 years we made the championship series and didn't make the World Series because we fell short in that championship. So I'm on board with Strasburg 100%. If that happens, I am okay with that. I am good with that. But Cole scares me if he ends up with this postseason exemption for 5 years. That's the length of the contract, man.
Yeah, that's true. He would essentially be a regular season player for the most part at that point. However, here's the thing that kind of, I mean, maybe he wouldn't get as much of a suspension as some of the other players, like Alex Bregman, or, you know, maybe Justin Verlander, because of the fact that, you know, Gerrit Cole.
It would depend on involvement.
Was. I mean, the real big thing they're really looking at in terms of
signal.
True. You don't know how much he was involved, but I think the big thing that they're really looking at with that, though, is the biggest thing, obviously, is, you know, it may have potentially swung, you know, the World Series in their favor back in 2017. Now, back in 2017, Gerrit Cole was a member of the Pittsburgh Pirates. So maybe perhaps if he receives any sort of suspension at all because of this from postseason play, maybe it would be more limited compared to some of the players that were already on the team when this whole thing started. Yeah, when this whole thing, you know, first started.
Right, but they also said that they did it not just in 2017, but they did it last year as well.
Yeah. But I do understand.
So
I do understand
that,
where you're coming
where
from,
it
though.
That's where it ties the coal
be...
and kind of scares me.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from, because, you know, it would be a really big risk for the Yankees to essentially take on a player that would ultimately be, you know, just a regular season player if he's suspended from the postseason. Now, here's where Strasburg comes into play here, because the Yankees were also – we're also in on Strasburg. And, I mean, he paid a visit to them. He paid a visit to, I think, Philadelphia as well recently. And here's what's kind of interesting here, because the Nationals, Mark Lerner of the Nationals, the owner, says that the team can't sign both Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon, because of the type of contracts that they both are going to warrant. And actually, there's talk that Anthony Rendon may actually break the record that was set by Manny Machado with his contract demands. So basically, where Strasburg comes into play here is, I mean, I'm taking a look right now at the Yankees tax threshold right now as it stands for next year, and they're already going to be $2.8 million over the tax. So from what it sounds like, you know, they're going to be paying for the tax anyways. So
right,
that's
I would
not
for a couple of years, so.
What was that, Tom?
We haven't paid the luxury tax in a couple of years because we were under the tax for the first time, I think, the last couple of years. And so we're just now going back over it. And it's not
and
like
actually,
we haven't paid the tax before.
Yeah. And actually, it says here that the Yankees are still going to be on tap for Jacoby Ellsbury's salary. It says his $26 million salary. They're still going to be on tap for. So, you know, they're already assuming that they can get that waivered off. You know, maybe perhaps they may possibly look at signing both Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg, especially when you consider the fact that you know, that Gerrit Cole may not be eligible for this upcoming postseason or for next
right.
year's postseason. If you add on Strasburg as well, Strasburg obviously isn't going to demand the same amount as Gerrit Cole would. But if you add on Strasburg, Strasburg's not that bad either. 18-6, he was the World Series MVP this year. You know, he has a career ERA of 3.17, with 112 wins and 58 losses throughout his career with the Washington
yeah.
Nationals. So, I mean, first off, even if this is, you know, a remote possibility, you'd be adding the two top pitchers on this year's free agent market. That has to make the Yankees the favorite for the American League.
I would think so.
I mean, even though, you know, Houston's going to take quite a hit. Let's assume that the ruling doesn't get handed down before next year's playoffs with in regards to the sign stealing stuff. You could be looking at potentially a huge loss. Well, it's going to be a huge loss more than likely, because Houston, it's not looking good for them right now in the hopes of re-signing Gerrit Cole. You take away Gerrit Cole from that, you know, from that starting rotation, you're pretty much stuck with Verlander, and you're stuck with Zach Greinke. Now, keep in mind, those are two very good starters at the same time, but losing the type of player like Gerrit Cole, though, here's the thing: if that punishment doesn't get handed down this upcoming season, the Yankees could potentially have Gerrit Cole. If he is even to be included in the punishment, they would potentially have him for this upcoming postseason next year. But it kind of makes sense now as to why the Yankees have been hosting Strasburg as well. Because they're probably looking at Strasburg as insurance. But here's the thing. Why would the Yankees be going all out for somebody like Gerrit Cole if there was the possibility of him being suspended from the playoffs? I would think that they're more than likely doing their due diligence with everything involving this case. But anyways, I mean, that's the rumor that's been thrown around, you know, the past couple of days, that Gerrit Cole is more than likely going to be a member of the New York Yankees at that offer. Let's see, what else did I hear about New York? Something else. We'll get back to it.
I got one for you. It's concerning the Mets. They lost Zach Wheeler.
Yes, they lost Zach Wheeler. The New York Mets did. As he signed with the Philadelphia Phillies to a 5-year, $118 million deal. Now, to me, I mean, he's a good 3 to 5, you know, 3 to 5 man in that rotation, but I don't know if he's really worth 20 plus mil per season.
No, he's not.
I mean, obviously, Lou, you know, you would know, you would have a better idea on that, considering the fact that you cover a wide range of sports teams out in New York. But
yes, I do.
I mean, looking at his numbers on a underachieving Mets team, 11-8 with a 3.96 ERA. And
uh-huh.
For his career, he's 44-38 with 3.77. I'm not really sold that.
Well,
you know,
they're not bad numbers.
I
mean, they could use a little work, but they're not terrible.
Yeah, they're not bad numbers. I mean, they could be better numbers, but for, you know, for a player that's getting, you know, 20 plus mil per season after making six mil this past year. I mean, I just don't know.
Yes.
Because, I mean, just take a look at his season per season, you know, in terms of starting pitching. He started off his career at 7-5 in 2013. Then he went 11-11 in 2014. Then he was out of the league for 2 years, I believe, because of injury in 2015 and 2016. 2017,
yeah.
He comes back in 2017 with a 3-7 record. Now these next two seasons kind of warrants the value a little bit. 12-7 in 2018 with a 3.31 ERA, easily the best of his career so far. And this past year, 11-8. With a 3.96 ERA. And let's keep in mind that this is a Mets team that's still technically on the rise a little bit here.
Yeah.
You know, gradually they're working their way back up. They're working their way back up into contention status. But what do you think, Lou, about the Phillies paying that much for Wheeler? Do you think it's an overpay?
Yeah, with Wheeler's numbers are not that great. I think they are overpaying a little bit. I mean, $117 million for it's 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah, I think they're overpaying him a bit. You know, he's not that great. He's not worth $117 million. If his numbers were better, you know, and a little bit lower ERA, I think maybe we would have a bit of agreement here. But I'm not sold on him either.
I mean, taking a look at their starting rotation as it stands, obviously Aaron Nola is at the top of the rotation. You have Jake Arrieta also in there, formerly of
but
the Cubs.
Last year was
so
contract.
You know. Oh, is it the last year?
Yes.
But regardless, when it comes to Arrieta, you still know he has that, he has that talent to warrant, you know, a big contract. So obviously, of course, you know, Wheeler isn't gonna top Arrieta. He isn't going to top Nola in the rotation.
No.
You have Zach Eflin in the rotation. He's 10-13 this past year with a 4.13 ERA. Okay, that if I'm looking at his, at his spot in the rotation, I think Wheeler definitely ranks above Eflin. Velasquez was 7-8 with a 4.91 ERA. I'm looking at Wheeler as a potential third man in that starting rotation for the Phillies this year.
Okay.
All right, let me take a quick look, actually, at Arrieta's stats, because right now they have Arrieta, for some reason, as the number four guy in the Phillies rotation. Actually, yeah, Arrieta, 8-8 with a 4.64 ERA this past year.
Not good.
But also you could sort of think, too, though, that, you know, Philly hasn't really had the best defense at all.
That's true.
You know, both in the infield and the outfield. So, you know, if I was looking at Philly, I would probably say that Wheeler slots anywhere from maybe the second, depending on where they decide to put Arrieta. I could see Wheeler being a number two man, maybe a number three man in that rotation.
The thing you have to factor into this overpay is the fact that they're a little butthurt about missing the playoffs last year. I mean, they opened up their checkbook, they tried to sign everybody under the sun, and they got spurned how many times and ended up missing the playoffs. So they're butthurt, and they're going to overpay to try and get who they think is going to get them back into that hunt.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's take a look at everybody that they got last year. They got Jay Bruce. Actually, I think they got Jay Bruce in the middle of the year. They got Jay Bruce. They got Bryce Harper. They added on JT Realmuto behind the plate. They ended up signing Robertson, formerly of the Yankees. You know, they ended up signing a whole bunch of big-name guys, and it's basically what I said in Sports Whispers earlier this week. They're basically trying to form, you know, their version of an all-star team, and yet they're going to end up missing the playoffs again. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if they end up missing the playoffs again this year, if they end up, acquiring a whole bunch of other guys.
Well, that's just it. They missed the playoffs after opening their checkbooks. I mean, Bryce Harper, he left Washington, and what did they do? Oh, they won the World Series. So, yeah, it was obviously all Harper in Washington.
Yeah. And actually, if you take a look at their luxury tax payroll standing right now, they currently have about 11 million. They currently have about 11 million tax base.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see, actually. Does that include the Wheeler deal? No, I don't see the Wheeler deal on here yet. So,
no.
Okay. We may want to hold off on that. From what you said, Lou, you said that Arrieta's in the final year of his deal. That's about $20 million.
Right.
So, yeah, that's about $20 million on their payroll. Plus, apparently, there's a rumor going around because of the fact that Joe Girardi is the new manager, that they're looking at potentially bringing in Didi Gregorius to replace Gene Segura at shortstop.
Oh dear. Well, Gregorius, you know, you can take or leave that one.
And you know, Gregorius is gonna probably command a whole lot of money as well on the market.
Oh yeah.
Even though his hitting isn't really worth it all after especially after how he ended this year.
Atrocious.
But you know, with the way that the Phillies are going after all these players, it kind of makes you, you know, scratch your head, like,
yeah,
what exactly are you guys trying to do here? Like, do you really think that, you know, getting all these all-stars is going to lead you to the promised land? I mean, there is
a, you cannot buy a championship, Steve.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, come on, New York, how many years?
It's now
you
been
11
years.
You can buy a championship.
10 years. Is
well,
it 10
yeah.
years since they won last one championship?
It's been 10 years, but I'm talking about back in like the 90s. You mean to tell me you can't buy a championship?
No.
The league has changed since then. You can't nowadays.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I mean, if you could fill a team with Harpers and Machados and put out that kind of money, do you know what kind of a mess of a team you would have? Because none of them are playing for the team. They're all playing for the stats.
Yeah.
That's
guys, it takes more than the amount of money to get
Machado
to get a win.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason why we were so killer in the early 2000s is we had guys like Pettit and Cohn and Clemens, guys that were out there fighting for the team, not for the stats. They were working together for the win.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, from what I've heard, by the way, I've heard that Pettit played a huge role in and then
yes.
trying to court Garrett Cole over to New York. As a matter of fact, from what I heard specifically, you remember when CC Sabathia used to be a big name free agent before, like right as he was leaving Cleveland, he was a big name free agent. The Yankees have been going about with Garrett Cole the same way they did with CC Sabathia, which was basically give him, you know, an overview of the organization, you know, show him around town, not really discussing contract numbers. And actually, I believe they did the same thing with CeCe and offered CeCe a blank check as well. So, you know, the Yankees have really gone about this to where, just like how they did for CeCe, where they went on all hands on deck mode, they've essentially done the same there with Garrett Cole this offseason. But back to the Phillies for a minute here. Tom, we got Lou's thoughts on Wheeler going to the Phillies. I want to get your thoughts. What are your thoughts on the Phillies, essentially, in my opinion at least, it's an overpay for a number three starter.
They greatly overpaid. They're paying a number, maybe even a number four starter as a number one. You don't give that kind of a money to a guy like Wheeler. I mean, yes, the stats are all right, but it's not worth 20 million. Nope. Wouldn't do it.
Not at all.
To me, in all honesty, to me, he's a number three starter on that Phillies starting rotation. But I get where you're saying, where you're coming from. On the Mets, he was number four or number five, I think.
Right. He's coming in being a number four, number five starter on a team on the rise.
Yeah.
I don't give him 20 million. Never. Never, ever.
But actually, another thing to keep in mind, too, is, you know, we're talking about money and everything. Aaron Nola, his contract is going to be coming up at some point. He's only making $8.5 million.
Only
on his current team friendly deal because of the fact that it's still a rookie deal.
When he says only,
I mean,
he's talking baseball figures.
That's still a lot of money, you know, whether you want it or not.
Yeah, but he's only made that through arbitration. He hasn't had the chance to hit the open market yet.
I guess. In other words, it could be a lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, you could sit here and go, Nick Foles was only making $15 million to be a backup.
Well, to be fair to Nick Foles, the Eagles knew what kind of what kind of problems they may have with Wentz after his first year. That they brought Nick Foles back for one more year at that ridiculous number. I think he was making $15 to $20 million as a backup. Specifically because
right,
they
but he was
knew.
Only making $15 million to sit on the bench and back up Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and then end up of course giving them a Super Bowl.
Right, but those are sports figures. For us normal people, that's a lot of money. For sports people,
well, exactly what I'm saying.
It's got to last them their whole lives.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, how many of them does it actually last them their whole life?
Right.
Not very many. I mean, you get some Marshawn Lynch who saves every damn penny, but not all of them are that smart.
Yeah, and actually you can put Gronk in that
endorsement deals.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. You could sort of put Gronk in that same category
right.
too, because
Brady's
of the fact
the
that he.
I think Brady's the same way. He just goes off his endorsement deals, and with him and
Giselle
makes, he doesn't even need to touch his NFL money.
Well, I mean, at the same
Love
time, though,
hate
with
the guy's got business.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, though, with Brady, keep in mind with Brady, he's made a whole lot of sacrifices specifically for the team out of all these years where he could have made a hell of
a lot of team-friendly contracts. He signed a lot of team-friendly contracts. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He signed a lot of contracts that changed his salary over to cap money just so they had cap room.
The signing bonus.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He signed it over to cap money like that to free up cap room. He still made made the same amount, and he just got paid more in cap than he did in signing bonuses than he did in salary, which allowed him to pay it over time and pass when he's gone. But
yeah,
that's how New England's been playing money ball for the last 20 years.
Yeah, but honestly, since we're talking about contracts here, I mean, let's take a look at all of the top free agents this year that may potentially sign wherever. Obviously, Rendon, he's going to be asking for a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole, as I said, around 5 to 6 years. Somewhere in the $250 million range. Strasburg. I don't know with Strasburg. I know he's probably going to get at least maybe 20 mil per season. But, it says here, just going off of the MLB trade rumors, which, by the way, normally they're pretty good with predicting free agent signings. They have him going back to the Nationals at 6 years, $180 million. So, I mean, $30 million, considering the fact that he is technically the ace, of that Nationals organization. And has been for the past, almost his entire career. And actually, to be fair, they also have Anthony Rendon going back to the Nationals as well, 7 years, $235 million. So that it kind of makes sense. I believe it was Scott Boras that didn't believe the report put out by, you know, about what the Washington Nationals owner said about not being able to pay both of them, both Rendon and Strasburg. But, you know, now that I think about, I mean, obviously nobody knew that Rendon would really burst like he did this year. By the way, Western Kentucky has beaten Arkansas 86-79, giving the Arkansas Razorbacks their first loss of the season. Western Kentucky improves to 7-3. But you know, while Anthony Rendon, you know, nobody ever saw him really bursting out like he did this year. I mean, obviously, you know, the Nationals had to know back when they were offering Bryce Harper the amount of money that they were going to offer him. They knew that Strasburg would likely probably opt out to try and get more money. They were going to have to pay Rendon anyways, but, I mean, Rendon obviously increased his stock tremendously this year with career highs in multiple categories. So, I mean, you know, just when you think about it, you know, a lot of these contracts, you kind of have to wonder as well, you know, maybe if there's the potential in the future for maybe a potential work stoppage, if maybe perhaps players are looking at maximizing what they can get now, instead of some players, you may see some players, you know, that'll try to take team friendly contracts in order to stay on. From what I said, you know, I didn't believe that Mookie Betts would take less money in order to re-sign with the Red Sox, considering everything he's put up. I mean, it just didn't really make sense to me.
Not at all.
And actually, MLB Trade Rumors did get Zach Wheeler correct. They had him going to the Phillies, but at 5 years, $100 million. So
he's not worth
it. If anything, well, no, obviously not. He's not worth it, considering his stats that have been put up.
No.
But if you take a look at some of the other pitchers that you have on the pitching market, you got Madison Bumgarner out there. I mean, I would probably give that money to Bumgarner. I don't know if I would give it to Wheeler, but you know, just take a look at some
likely
of the pitchers,
not.
The other pitchers out there. What was that?
Likely not.
No. If you take a look though at some of the other pitchers out there, you got Bumgarner, you got Hyunjin Ryu from the Dodgers, you got Jake Odorizzi, you got Will Smith, although he's a reliever, who has now signed with the Braves. You had Cole Hamels out there before he signed with the Braves for $18 million. You got Dallas Keuchel out there. I mean, granted, you know, you don't have as many big name players like a Gerrit Cole, like a Steven Strasburg, but in all honesty, I honestly think that Bumgarner would probably warrant a bigger contract than the likes of what Zach Wheeler got. But I mean, let me take a look at some of these other ones. It does say here that according to The Athletic's Dan Hayes, former Yankee Michael Pineda will remain with the Twins on a 2-year extension worth about $20 million.
Yep.
Although he is suspended for the first 5 weeks of next season, so he probably won't get
60
the
games.
Full $20 million. Yep. Technically, this sort of seems like a bit of a good deal for the Twins, though, considering the fact that he had an 11-5 record with a 4.01 ERA. To get him for only 10 mil per season isn't really that bad when you think about what his record could have been, you know, had he stayed on for the full year, or had he, you know, had a full year essentially to play through. All right, hang on one second. Let me erase those two things. Garrett Cole we covered. Okay, this next one here, it's a bit of a big splash in my opinion, at least. The San Diego Padres have acquired outfielder Tommy Pham and infielder, but also right-handed pitcher Jake Cronenworth from the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for outfielder Hunter Renfroe, who by far is probably the biggest name of this deal, if not Tommy Pham, infielder Xavier Edwards, and a player to be named later, who I believe turned out to be it hasn't been announced yet who the player to be named later is. But if you take a look at what the Padres are getting, Tommy Pham turning 32 in March. He had a monster season with the Rays, 273 batting average, 21 homers, 25 stolen bases in 145 games. He's probably going to slot anywhere within the top three in the Padres lineup, probably between Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. So, if anything, this is quite a big bet, actually, that the Padres are acquiring here for their, for their rebuilding starting lineup that they're trying to put out there. Renfroe, however, it's kind of a huge loss, actually, for the Padres to get rid of Hunter Renfroe. And no, not to be mistaken with the Oakland Raiders player of the same name. But Hunter Renfroe had a career-high 33 homers this year for the Padres while only hitting .216, which also included only batting .161 with just 6 homers in 59 games after the All-Star break. Now, he is more than likely going to slot in as the everyday right fielder for the Rays to begin the season and will probably move to somewhere in the middle of the Rays lineup. Let's see. Cronenworth, who the Padres are also getting, had a terrific season at AAA Durham this year, hitting .334 with 10 homers, 45 RBIs, and 12 stolen bases in 419 plate appearances. He also registered a .245 ERA with a 1.64 whip and 9 strikeouts per 8 walk ratio over 7 1/3 innings on the mound. We never see this where, unless of course they're on a National League team, you know, where a player is both an infielder as well as a pitcher. I mean, you never really see that. Let's see. The other player that the Rays are getting, Xavier Edwards, a first round selection in the 2018 draft. He hit .322 with 1 homer, 43 RBIs, and 34 stolen bases between Class A Fort Wayne and high A Lake Elsinore. So even though he's becoming one of the top middle infield prospects in all of baseball, there's probably still going to be a little bit of work left to do with him. When it comes to actually looking at seeing whether or not he's going to, at what point is he gonna see action with the big league club? Another player that was, first off, let's just discuss it. Who do you guys think got the better of the deal here between the Padres and the Rays? I mean, the Padres, they're giving up power, but they're also sort of getting more consistency with as far as batting average. However, they're also giving up a guy who's soon becoming one of the top middle infield prospects in the game.
Well, it's not much of an improvement. I mean, you're going from the Rays to the Padres, and the Padres were horrible. So it's not. I don't think they got the good end of the deal.
I mean, in all honesty, assuming that Renfroe can improve on his numbers average wise, I think this was a win for the Rays. I mean, of course, you're getting a proven all-around player for the Padres with Tommy Pham, but I mean, I can see why they gave up Renfroe because of the fact that he had such a low average and only hitting 161 after the All-Star break.
Right.
But I don't know, though.
Tough call, really.
Let's see. When it comes, we were talking about the Nationals earlier. I forgot to mention this. Howie Kendrick apparently has re-upped with the Nationals on a 1-year $6.25 million deal with a mutual option for 2021. After hitting .344 with 17 homers this past season for the Nationals. And also being one of the key players during their World Series championship this year as well. So he's re-upped there. The Rangers have agreed to a 2-year deal with free agent right-hander Jordan Lyles, which will pay Lyles $16 million over the next 2 years. He posted a 4.15 ERA. Between the Pirates and the Brewers this past year. However, after the midseason trade to Milwaukee, he was outstanding, going 7-1 with a 2.45 ERA in 11 starts. However, he's moving to a hitter-friendly ballpark, so I think we're going to start to see those numbers drop drastically for Gibson there. Or not Gibson, Lyles. But speaking of Gibson, though, the Rangers have signed Kyle Gibson to a 3-year, $28 million deal as well, which includes a possible $3 million more in bonuses. It originally was reported last week, but it was made official yesterday. Let's see, some other deals that have been announced as well. The Royals have signed right-handed pitcher Trevor Rosenthal to a minor league deal in inviting him to spring training, which will see him make $2 million if he's added to the major league roster.
Right.
And also, he could net an additional $2.25 million in performance bonuses. While he has struggled badly since leaving the Cardinals, while playing with the Tigers and Nationals, a reunion with his former big league manager, Mike Matheny, could essentially possibly turn him around. Some other deals, the Orioles have dealt starting pitcher Dylan Bundy to the LA Angels in exchange for right-handed pitchers Isaac Mattson, Zach Peake, Kyle Bradish, and Kyle Brnovich. Elsewhere, the Minnesota Twins have agreed to a 1-year, $4.25 million deal with Alex Avila. He spent last season with the Arizona Diamondbacks batting .207 with 9 homers over 201 plate appearances. So he'll probably be a backup there in Minnesota behind the plate. And the Brew Crew lost another key member of their squad as the Reds signed infielder Mike Moustakas to a 4-year, $64 million contract with a $20 million club option for 2024. So the Moose has finally landed a long-term deal after settling for 1-year contracts in 2 straight off seasons. Last year, he tallied 35 homers and 87 RBIs for the Brewers. Let's see here. You know what, let's talk a little bit about college, actually, because there has been a bit of a we all know how the coaching carousel normally picks up around this time. If not, maybe at the end of the season, usually around this time, you know, the coaching carousel picks up here. We have had multiple firings the past couple of weeks in college football. In particular, you have Steve Adazio at Boston College, Barry Odom at Missouri, Chad Morris, of course, at Arkansas, Willie Taggart at Florida State, Chris Ash at Rutgers, who has since been replaced by Greg Schiano, the former head coach of Rutgers, now returning to Rutgers. Matt Luke was also out at Ole Miss. However, news that just came out today, Lane Kiffin has reportedly been named the new coach at Ole Miss. A press conference is scheduled to be held within the next couple of days or so. But our producer, Jim Early, actually said that he was originally scheduled to sign with Arkansas, but the Arkansas deal fell through within the last day or so due to hesitance from the Board of Trustees with how the era of Bobby Petrino had ended with Arkansas. But just looking at what Lane Kiffin has brought, or what Lane Kiffin brings to the table, actually, I should say, for Ole Miss. Of course, he's coming back to SEC, to the SEC, where he last spent with, I believe, when he was on the Alabama coaching staff from 2014 to 2016. He has since been on. He has been the head coach of Florida Atlantic, although NFL fans will know him from his time with the Oakland Raiders.
Yes,
where he went 5-15 through 2 seasons. But in college, I mean, he's had somewhat of a success out in college. Just as recently as 3 years ago, he won a bowl game, the Boca Raton Bowl, with Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic finished first in Conference USA this year, in Conference USA East, I should say, this year with a 10-3 record under him. Throughout his 3 years with Florida Atlantic, they had a 26-13 record. He spent 4 years with USC, from 2010 to 2013 with a 28-15 record. And of course, in 2009, he spent 1 year with the Tennessee Volunteers, going 7-6. So now he was advised by the current coach of LSU to not go to Ole Miss because of, if you're going to Ole Miss, you have to fit a certain style, and he felt that he wasn't a good fit. I don't know the exact fit that they're looking for, but basically, Coach O of LSU, who used to be with Ole Miss at one time, pretty much told his good friend Lane Kiffin that he didn't feel that he would be a good fit for Ole Miss because of the type of coaches that they usually look for.
Yeah.
Also announced today, Mike Norvell is expected to be named the new head coach of Florida State after spending the past couple of years with Memphis. Let's see. Actually, yeah, he had been with Memphis since 2016, where he's spent pretty much, you know, the only 4 years that he's been a head coach in college, he's spent with Memphis, where he's accrued a 38-15 record through 4 years, including 12-1 this year. He would have been 13-0 if it wasn't for a complete bullshit call made against them by when they faced off with Temple earlier this year. He won a conference title this year. He's won, and actually, I believe he's playing in the, is it the Cotton Bowl or is it the Sugar Bowl with against Alabama?
I think it's the Sugar Bowl.
Hang on a minute. Tom, you do the what's it called, the Games Gridiron. Do you have any idea which bowl it is?
The bowl for which team?
For Memphis. Because I know they're facing Alabama, but I forget what bowl they're in.
Trying to think. I saw the name of it the other day. Because the bowl bonanza hasn't come out yet, so we haven't posted that. But when I saw the pairing, I started cracking up. Because if Memphis beats them, that means they would have lost to another Tiger team.
Yeah. Hey, you
know
what,
how well
Saban's
been with Tigers this year.
Yes.
Yeah,
he can't walk by a bowl of prospects
without losing his mind.
I'm just kind of pissed off that with the SEC title game that we saw today, I mean, it sucks that Alabama and LSU are in the same division, because otherwise we would have seen a much better matchup between LSU and Alabama in the rematch than we did today, seeing LSU just completely walk all over Georgia. Okay, so it's not, it is the Cotton Bowl. Yeah, number 17, Memphis topped Cincinnati today for the AAC title, likely securing Cotton Bowl bid. Okay, so it'll be the Cotton Bowl that they'll be facing off in. But regardless, I mean, Norvell has been described, you know, as an offensive genius. you know, I know Jim actually wanted, you know, Norvell to be the coach for Arkansas in the many vacancies that Arkansas has had the past couple of years. Actually, it says here that they have a FSU has a news conference.
Hang on.
They have a news conference for noon tomorrow in order to make the announcement. Says here that he's a an offensive genius. He's a good recruiter. Calls his own plays. He had three straight title conference title games at Memphis. He's also beat SEC teams while at Memphis, and also he's very young and energetic as well. Tom, have you sent your picks in yet, or your questions?
No, not yet. I just got done eating dinner.
Well, I would send them in. I'm just saying. I told you earlier. Let's see. One other bit of news here out of taking a look at some of the other coaching things here. Says here that Chris Peterson has stepped down at Washington. Hang on one sec. All right, yeah, it says Chris Peterson has stepped down at Washington after the Huskies bowl game, and he'll be replaced by defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake. The school announced Monday. It says here, as part of the shocking announcement, the school said Peterson will transition into a leadership advisory role. He stated, it has been a privilege and a professional dream fulfilled to be a part of this world-class institution. I will forever be grateful, honored, and humbled to have had the opportunity to coach our fine young men on Montlake for the past six seasons. He arrived at Washington prior to the 2014 season and led the Huskies to a pair of Pac-12 titles and a berth in the college football playoff in 2016. His career record of 146-38 includes eight seasons at Boise State, where he famously led the Broncos to a pair of Fiesta Bowl victories and top 10 finishes in the AP poll. Let's see. Lake has been on Peterson's staff since 2012 at Boise State. He was promoted to co-defensive coordinator in 2016 and has been the Huskies' sole defensive coordinator for the past two seasons. Let me get your thoughts, Lou, on this whole thing here. What are your thoughts on this coaching carousel that we've been seeing here?
Wait, for which team?
Well, for all the teams that I announced so far. I mean, we have Rutgers, of course, rehiring Greg Schiano.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mike Norvell going to FSU, and we have Lane Kiffin going to Ole Miss.
Yep, I heard. Oh, it's a regular regular merry-go-round in college football. Yeah, but getting back to Schiano, I don't know if he's the right man for Rutgers. I mean, he didn't really do much, you know, for the team then. And if Rutgers would go find another conference, maybe like go to like the AAC with UConn, I think they'd be a much better team because, you know, Schiano just coming back alone isn't enough to help Rutgers with their pathetic defense, which is really just awful.
And not to mention, he at one point was the defensive coordinator for the Patriots too. Before he ended up,
mm-hmm.
but he never coached an actual game though.
Correct. Yeah, because we're long time suffering Rutgers fans, and it hasn't shown any progress whatsoever. Kiffin, on the other hand, going back to Ole Miss, I think that's what they've been missing. They were a powerhouse at one time, and I think his presence will be felt when he does go back.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I had a thing up here.